If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Yesterday, we got close to 70 in the city. Some of you did see that. And as I drove up and down Lakeshore Drive yesterday, it could have been a summer day. The number of people that were walking and jogging and pedaling up and down the lakefront on the concrete apron that runs along the parkway there for miles was packed. I mean, it was crowded. There were thousands and thousands of people yesterday walking and jogging and pedaling and just enjoying the weather. And take advantage of it while you can. I hope you get a chance to breathe a little fresh air when you walk out of your building. Doesn't it feel kind of good right now? And we aren't even at St. Patrick's Day. I want to talk to Eric Zorn right now. He is the publisher of something called the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter you can get for free. Email ericzorn@gmail.com. Give him a little bit of money and he'll give you a premium edition with more swell stuff. Eric, of course, the longtime columnist at the Chicago Tribune, now has many, many people reading him online in his Substack column or newsletter. And by the way, he's part of the Mincing Rascals podcast. We'll drop another episode tomorrow. Hi, Eric Zorn. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really glad that I'm down here in New Orleans this week to escape the weather in Chicago.
Yeah. My sister got on a boat in Florida yesterday for a short family cruise with her family, and our temperature was the same as hers. I mean, I don't wish ill weather on people when I'm traveling abroad, but you can't help but notice sometimes that you could have stayed home for this weather. It's been beautiful this week.
Yeah, I keep toggling back and forth. Right now here in New Orleans, it's 67 degrees. And we, you know, Johanna and I do this just about every winter. We get away for just a couple of weeks right when it's sort of dead of winter time. And usually we look at the weather app and it's like, you know, 30s, high 20s in Chicago. And this week we're still like, man, what are we doing down here? we could be in our shorts and T-shirts up in Chicago. So.
Hey, I want to mention this real quick. So before you just came on, we visited with Harvey Wells, who talked to us about how to get the Cubs, or pardon me, well, the Cubs, but more specifically, the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks on that CHSN, the Chicago Sports Network. It's still not on Infinity. You know that if you want to watch your Xfinity. If you want to watch, say, the Bulls or Blackhawks right now, you don't have it. And it's going to be that way with the White Sox unless they get a deal, these two entities together. Cubs fans can still get the Cubs on Xfinity, on Marquee. Xfinity's half the market. Anyway, he had a lot of information. If you go to WGNradio.com, after my show today, producer Pete will put that whole conversation up as a separate podcast. Go to the John Williams page, and all the information you'll want will be there, even though you might not like it. Are you sports accessible? Do you watch Cubs and White Sox and stuff, Eric?
Usually, yes, I am. I'm a pretty big sports fan. I just I gave up on the Bulls this year because I don't have rabbit ears for my TV, and I just couldn't be bothered to go out and find some. And I know I'm really into the Bears and really into college sports. The White Sox, I don't know, this year they have to be better than they were last year. And the Cubs, I think the Cubs are favored to win the division. Did I read that somewhere?
That's right.
I mean, they seem like they're doing well. So, but I don't have the Marquee network. I have the satellite dish, the Dish Network, and they don't have Marquee. So I'm sort of limited in my baseball fandom these years. So.
Remember when the Blackhawks for years weren't on TV? They were the last ones to finally decide to go to TV. And Mr. Wirtz felt that it was bad to give the games away for free on television. Not, you know, he was old school, not appreciating the fact that if you're on TV, sure, you've got 20,000 people in the arena, but you've got 20 million people that can watch you. It's better to be on TV if you can be. Now, they all know that, but how much is it worth and what should you pay for it is the problem.
Yeah, it's all about brand extension, right? I mean, you want to build a fan base. And that's why the Cubs did so well. They had a national following because so many of their games were on WGN, you know, the superstation. So you have a lot of Cub fans out in Arizona.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why of all of the teams, the team that will suffer the most is the White Sox. I was at the Blackhawks game the other night. They were bad last year. They're not good this year. And who knows what next year is going to be like. Is that a train, Eric?
That's a train going by our house here.
Now, promise me it's not in your house. I'll finish that point, though. And so I'm at the Blackhawks game, and while it wasn't sold out, it was packed. I mean, the third tier, people all the way around. And, yeah, there were pockets of empty seats you didn't used to see, but not many. The Blackhawks and the sweaters are still popular. Probably the Bulls. I don't get to Bulls games, but Bulls do very, very well. Cubs will never have a problem, but the White Sox need the exposure. The White Sox should be on this radio station if they were smart. And maybe they're smart, but they should be a little smarter. And the White Sox will suffer if they're not on TV. You've got to think, to whatever degree they have some pull, they need to make this thing happen, right?
Yeah, I think they need to be on free TV. And I think the same thing is true with, say, the WNBA and some of these other sort of marginal and pro soccer and so on. You've got to put it where people can at least get used to it and become a fan. You don't start off from zero with no interest, all of a sudden buying a subscription to a service like Marquee or going to ball games. You get into it slowly. You like watch a game on TV, think that looks like fun. I want to go be part of that. I think the Blackhawks thing is the John Hansen effect, though.
our John Hansen is the in-game announcer, and he does a great job jazzing everybody up.
He does. He's fabulous at that. He's a talented guy. That's really fun to see.
I mentioned that the weather is so nice, better than what we normally get by St. Patrick's Day, and in your newsletter, you have an unpopular opinion about St. Pat's Day.
Yeah, somebody wrote in and said that they thought St. Patrick's Day stunk, and they had two reasons for it, and one is that it exaggerates the significance or importance of the Irish American community. 7% of the population in Chicago is Irish or Scotch Irish background, and compared to 7.3% of Polish and 6.5% of German ancestry, that it's a small thing. Nationally, 9.5% of the population is Irish, compared to 12.7% German. So it's like, why do we make such a big deal out of the Irish when, you know, I mean, there, we need to have, there's Pulaski Day and there's Columbus Day. I don't know what there's, and there's like Von Steuben parades and things like that. But St. Patrick's Day dwarfs them all. That was the one reason they thought that this was out of proportion, number one. And also number two is like, it seems like so much of the St. Patrick's Day tradition is about getting drunk, which is not a good reflection on Irish Americans, it seems to me. So, or it seemed to my,
yeah,
seemed to my.
Except that they don't run from that. But they don't run from that. To your first point, even though they are getting a disproportionate amount of attention and money as a result, I don't fault them for it. I mean, more power to you if you can figure out how to play that. But to the second point, they don't seem to be too embarrassed about it. You know, every town has a St. Patrick's Day thing. You all know the place to go. There's beer, there's potatoes, you know, there's corned beef, and everybody celebrates it that way. But you're absolutely right. I lived around Wrigley Field long enough to know that it was just a drunken crawl. It was ugly at times.
Oh, yeah. And I put a little click poll in, as I do with these unpopular opinions, in my newsletter today. And I said, my attitude towards St. Patrick's Day, 9% of the people say I'm into it, but 44% of the people say I'm fine with it, and another 40% say I hardly notice it. So only 7% agreed that it stinks. So it is an unpopular opinion. People are either into it a little bit or indifferent to it, but very few people really actively dislike it. So.
Well, Brenda and I aren't face down on Waveland on St. Patrick's Day, although I did see some people that were that. But will we have corned beef and potatoes and cabbage? Yeah, last time Brenda did that, Mary Beth brought over some delicious soda bread, and that was wonderful too. So I like the tradition for that, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, there are fun things about it. It's interesting, though, that you don't have a similar sort of day for German Americans or Italian Americans. I know that we, like I said, we have Columbus Day, we have Pulaski Day, but those tend to be very muted celebrations, and they don't involve a lot of, say, wearing a certain color or eating certain foods for the most part.
Yeah, but you make it sound like somebody's getting cheated here. Like there's a score, and since there are more Germans, we need Hans and his friends at Oktoberfest to make it a more specific day and cash in more on it. And I don't think anybody's being cheated or robbed here. It doesn't have to be perfect in alignment with the population.
Yeah, no, and I think that's reflected in these poll results. I mean, I have 323 votes so far. And like I say, most people are either okay with it or indifferent to it. So yeah, I think that's true. But there is this small pocket of resentment towards St. Patrick's. Like, why do we make such a big deal out of the Irish Americans instead of, spreading that around? And also given that, see, the Asian American population, I didn't know that Asian American doesn't refer to a country necessarily, and Hispanics certainly, and African Americans, there isn't a similar day that is celebrated with such similar grandiosity that you have St. Patrick's
Day. The Mexican Independence Day has popped in the last few years. You can't help but notice when it's the Mexican Independence Day because of the traffic jam and the flags.
Right.
You run that up your unpopular opinion poll. How about that one? Is that great?
I should definitely do that. I know that the traffic thing is an issue. It's become an issue in the Loop as well. And they're thinking about trying to maybe move that celebration into Grant Park and not have it clog up the traffic. I don't think it reflects all that well on a population. If you're sitting in traffic, you got to be somewhere, you got a doctor's appointment or a business appointment or a lunch appointment, something like that, and you can't get around because there are all these people driving around waving their flags out of their car. You think, like, well, that's fine. You're proud of your ethnicity. We all should be, but don't make me late for my appointment.
Well, so. For sure. Talking to Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. I'm a little short of time here. Let's skip over Brandon Johnson's prize cabinet. Let's talk a little bit about 5 years ago today. You also wrote about that in your Picayune Sentinel. What's your observation about this, Eric?
Well, if it were 5 years ago today, Illinois had just seen two dozen cases and no deaths in the COVID-19 pandemic, or whatever the news story at the time. And then on that day, Mayor Lightfoot announced that the St. Patrick's Day parades were canceled. Dr. Anthony Fauci testified to the House Committee on Oversight and Reform that the worst was yet to come. The World Health Organization said that it was officially a pandemic. The NCAA canceled March Madness. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, announced on social media they've been diagnosed with COVID-19. The NBA abruptly canceled all its games when the Utah Jazz Center tested positive for COVID. Like, it all happened on this one day. We got a announcement at the Tribune where they said, go home. You're going to work from home from now on. And we all figured, well, this is going to last a few weeks, put a few things in a box, and we all went home. But this all happened on the same day. And everything seemed to change. Like, it seemed like we were thinking at the time, like, oh, this is going to pass. And suddenly it all crashed down on us. It was 5 years ago today. And I was writing today about, well, what's aside from that, the horrible memory of that time and, hoarding our toilet paper and worrying about our mail. Or I remember your producer at the time, Elif, was washing all the mail that came in and not opening boxes from China.
True.
And so
she
on.
She did, yeah.
It was a very alarming time and scary, and it's all, most of it's gone away, right? I mean, most of it, we don't see that much of it anymore. And the question I was sort of wrestling with today was, well, what has changed? When you look back 5 years, obviously, if you've lost somebody to COVID, it's a terrible memory, a terrible thing. But for most of us, it seems like one of the things that's happened is that we've become much more comfortable with working remotely. That this culture has arisen where people are traveling as they work. I know that I go do my work from Ann Arbor when I go back to see my parents. I've been working on this vacation here down in New Orleans. That's happened, but I also think that a certain skepticism has fallen over the population about science in general, that I never would have predicted that was going to happen, that rather than embrace medical science and vaccinations, I mean, the vaccines were incredibly effective, and yet there remains this big divide in the population about the effectiveness of science and vaccines. Yeah. And we're seeing it now with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And so and that has made me really profoundly discouraged about the prospects that we will ever address global climate change, that there is so little, you know, general acceptance of and respect for scientific effects. People weren't, you know, there was a number of people who wouldn't even wear masks when that was the recommendation because they just were being obstinate about it. Now, I think there's, in retrospect, all the mask wearing may have been less necessary than we thought, and there's certainly room to be skeptical of science. But if I look back on it, that's what's changed in my life. What changed in yours? Can you think?
A lot of things. I think all of us who have a workplace that enables you to work remotely. I'm in the studio today, but I don't have to be. And plenty of our hosts and people at the time were not here. And we've all figured out we don't all have to be here all the time. I would say that's the biggest change. I do remember Elif being afraid to open a box she got from China, shoes or something, and she would wipe it off and then wasn't even sure if she would open it because maybe the germ is in there. And we just didn't know. And while clearly we didn't get everything right, we did get a lot right. Social distancing was a good idea. Masks are still a good idea to protect other people, if nothing else. And the virus was a good idea. The vaccine. Remember when the vaccine first came to Chicago on the radio, we did play-by-play of the trucks delivering it. And then there was fighting and cheating and stealing of the vaccines. But somewhere along the way, you're right. We lost our faith in the people that were getting it to us. And now if we have a bird flu or something else if the measles or if there's something else that's going to come out there, I don't think we've learned our lesson, Eric. I don't think we've learned our lesson to trust the doctors on this.
No, that's really true. And it was in May of 2023 that the World Health Organization and President Biden declared the pandemic over. We're still losing about 100 people a month in Illinois, according to the Centers for Disease Control, to COVID. But that's way, way down. Those numbers are way, way down from what they were. We were losing more than 100 people a day there for a while.
Yeah.
And so this it's more like the flu now, more like a seasonal allergy.
Well,
when I was diagnosed recently, my doctor just said, hey, you know, it's going to be like a cold. Don't worry about it. I said, should I take Paxlovid? He said, I wouldn't bother. And so I didn't. And So there is that sense, but you're right. Bird flu, measles. If we're more skeptical now about vaccines and community health protocols, like wearing masks in crowded situations, it's going to be a problem.
Let's pay attention then. Eric Zorn, publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. Are you going to be part of our podcast tomorrow, the Mincing Rascals?
I hope so. I try to get away from the train noises, but yeah, I'll definitely want to be part of that.
We'll take it either way. You can get the Picayune Sentinel by emailing ericzorn@gmail.com.